from where we'd rather be. Let's head over to Perth, where Adam Gilchrist is living in the grand final city. Hello, Gilly.
Yes, good morning, Jared. You're right. It's we're very fortunate as we sit and listen to situations around, well, other parts of Australia and none the least over there in Victoria and Melbourne. That's extraordinary news to us all here about earthquakes on top of everything else that's going on. So our heart and mind's with you all, and we're here, obviously, in great anticipation of trying to put on a good show for everybody around the grand final. The anticipation and excitement is continuing to build. It's really exciting to be a part of.
Does it feel like the biggest sporting event that Perth's had?
Gee, I hadn't stopped to think of it like that in regards to rating it, but it's going to, I would assume it'd have to be right up there. And I think that the thing that most people are saying is that it's probably unlikely that ever happen again, certainly in our lifetime. And we hope not, because we hope that by this stage next year, we are back to business as usual, and it is back at the spiritual home of AFL and the grand final, certainly there at the MCG. So, yeah, I think that's probably the word that most people are using, unique. It is probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it will rate up there as one of the great sporting events, I think, as far as spectacles go, the way it's presented and how it'll look and feel. And I think we all hope that it's just an actual match, a football match, that lives up to that by way of excitement and being an even contest.
Are you busy this week? Is there every function in the world going on? Are you in demand?
No, there's plenty to get to if you wanted to. There's been a few offers here and there, but it's, I've got a couple of things on. But what's extraordinary, what I was doing this morning was my son had me tapping onto Ticketmaster, not to buy, but to reserve a seat for the open training session on Friday for the two teams. I think 25,000 they're allowing to go there. So it's a ticketed event without costing any money, just so they can track and trace everybody. But, that's going to be half full, the stadium, just for a captain's run. So that shows you the hype that's around. And, yeah, there's plenty of events on here and there and people trying to sort of get themselves in and still scrounging for tickets to the game, although I think that's a bit of a lost cause at the moment.
Has the Gilchrist family chosen a team to barrack for on the day?
I think it seems to be Melbourne, like a lot of the sentiment seems to be general. I'd say it's a tough choice, isn't it? Two very likable teams when you're independent. But I think that's the sentiment, again, as I mentioned last week, buses driving around with Give 'Em Hell on it and the Melbourne Demons branding all over it. But it's going to be intriguing to see how it unfolds and the way the teams are preparing, they're sort of kept a relatively low profile, given that the Bulldogs only just a couple of days ago got out of their sort of quarantine period, but the spotting of players around various cafes and so on, that's fallen away by the wayside. They've honed in now back onto the serious stuff. So it's going to be very wonderful to be a part of. And, as I say, I think Melbourne probably just in front by way of the sentimental vote from over in the West, from everyone, not just the Gilchrist household.
So international cricket, Gilly, right now it's a bit of a mess with the tours that have been cancelled to Pakistan. I find it hard to be critical from the outside, as if you are in possession of a credible threat that's coming from government, it's probably the governing body's obligation to remove the players, but it plays much broader than that for the aspiration of cricket returning in Pakistan. How have you taken all of it in?
Yeah, and we're sort of casting judgment from afar with minimal detail. I guess that's the two withdrawals from Pakistan. First of all, the New Zealand team that were there not disclosing any detail on the security issue that caught their attention and to the point where they wanted to get the team out. So I guess that's proving frustrating for everyone to make an assessment on that. And then a few days later, confirmed that they'll be heading to India at some point, probably the double blow. And then the triple blow for Pakistan cricket was England announcing yesterday that they're not going to go there with the men's or women's team for a few white ball games leading into the T20 World Cup. That one is probably even more interesting in that there's no mention of security. It yeah. really is just a statement around fatigue of being in bio bubbles and what they deem as the best preparation for the T20 World Cup, which I thought a couple of games against Pakistan in those conditions would be good preparation for a T20 World Cup. But I think it's a show of just how powerful players' associations are in the cricketing landscape at the moment. Gerard, particularly in the stronger nations and the more healthier by way of financial health nations in the cricketing landscape. And I'm trying to work out whether this bodes well or negatively for the Ashes with what England have done. By not going, I guess that alleviates another period in a very short bubble. It was only a 4 or 5 day trip that they had scheduled. But if that freshens the players up and their mindset up, it might allow them to think more clearly about coming down for the Ashes, or it might be an indication that if the players don't want to do something, they're getting that message through, and they're going to withdraw from tours they don't want to go on.
What it has freshened up is the bitterness around the big nations and whether they actually do fulfil their obligations. And obviously we know that we know some of the machinations that have been in play with Australia and India and England over the past 3 or 4 years. It's not terribly reassuring that a series could be treated so lightly as to pull out because of fatigue.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I think not that Australian cricket's been perfect in this. Obviously, they pulled out of the South African tour earlier this year, calendar year. I think we're a bit more certain around COVID and vaccination levels and so on that perhaps the health aspect of it should be pretty well covered off now for teams to tour and visit. So send the discussion of bubbles and the mental sort of strains and stresses. Sending a second team, I'm sure there would have been enough English cricketers there that were keen to go and take that opportunity, like Australia did to the West Indies and Bangladesh. They didn't have anywhere near a full-strength team, but they still sent a team, and it helps fulfill commercial obligations and broadcast commitments. And the players, I think, will just need to be very careful as a collective group. And there is a world sort of body, FICA, of the Federation of International Cricketers Association. And they might want to just remind players that if they go too hard in these areas, it could all fall over.
Yep.
The financial side of it will stop, and it will have huge impacts on not just the health of the game within countries, but those individual players and their ability to maintain a very, very strong and happy and healthy existence from it.
One of the great commodities in cricket, Gilly, through the years has been a teenage tearaway. An Australian's women's team revealed one yesterday in Darcy Brown, who was quite spectacular in her 4 for 33. It ended up a terribly lopsided affair once Haynes and Healy got hold of the Indian attack and bludgeoned them all over Mackay. But that the 18-year-old who bursts onto the scene, not on debut, but gosh, did she make an impression?
Yeah, that was brilliant, particularly after Vilemic was ruled out, to have a bit of raw pace in there and just aggression. Very exciting, and that's in any cricket. But the pace and velocity and of very so many more parts of the women's game, that's been one of the greatest increases in and exciting additions in recent years since they've all been able to be basically full-time athletes and develop and progress and commit to the time and effort to get stronger and be quicker and faster. And that's a whole new dimension. So any first bowler in any form of career is very exciting, particularly when it's on your team.
It was a thumping big win. Gilly, great to chat. Enjoy grand final weekend. I reckon for the kids in particular, it'll be something they'll never forget.
Yeah, it's huge. The build-up's massive. I've got to give it a little mention, just very quickly, Jared, on the Gillian Goss show on Friday morning. A very unique pre-grand final edition of the little Friday focus that I do. I've managed to speak to the captains of the last 10 premiership teams about one moment in that grand final, the respective grand final win. Was there a moment, a passage of play or a speech that saw them over the line? So that's been really interesting. I've managed to get them all and they're in the gun or in the can, and that's going to be on Friday morning. So it should be hopefully entertaining and interesting listening for everyone.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. Well done. Well done. That'll be great listening on Friday morning. Enjoy.
Good on you, mate.
Adam Gilchrist on Wednesday. Hi, G. Reed Perth and big sporting events. It's a bit different, but when Bondi brought the America's Cup home, the city stopped and the ticker tape parade was awesome. The AFL Grand Final is in good hands. Scotty's in Perth. And Geraldo, still the biggest sporting event in Perth is the 2006 Ashes Test that Gilly took Monty Panesar to pieces and nearly scored the fastest test 100 of all time. 0433 98 11 16 temper, a mattress like no other. Our interviews with Australian stars and legends for Australian Made. Australian Made, it's important to buy Australian right now. Look for the logo and be sure it's Aussie.